Our two scripture readings this morning, the first from the Hebrew Testament, Isaiah 2, the verses 2 through 4, and then from the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 2. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that God's Spirit will be with us, and that we will receive guidance and enlightenment, so that our Bible readings of this morning will touch us, will change us, and give us new direction. Dear friends, it is Christmas time. Two young boys were spending the night at their grandparents, and it was bedtime. So, as was their custom, the two boys knelt beside their beds to say their prayers. But suddenly, the youngest one began praying at the top of his lungs. "I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new Xbox. I pray for a new DVD player." His older brother was shocked. He leaned over and he poked the younger brother and said, "Why are you shouting your prayers? You know God is not deaf." To which the little brother replied, "I know, but Grandma is." How delightful is Christmas time. For most of us, it is a time of exchanging gifts. It's a fun time. And oh, how we enjoy the shouts of surprise and sometimes disbelief when you open a gift. "Wow, is this really mine?" Well, after all, as Christians, we believe that this world received Jesus as a gift from God. So giving each other gifts symbolizes the greatest gift of all. And in the best of traditions, when I receive a gift at Christmas, in my heart I say, "Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus. full well knowing that there is so little that we can give in return. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, to place the birth of Jesus in historic perspective, we need to understand why the Gospel of Luke begins the story of Jesus with the following declaration. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. In the year 29 before Christ, the Romans declared peace in the world. Octavius was their emperor then, and he fought several wars, and needless to say, he won them all. So after 20 years of war, Rome was finally at rest for a while. So the Roman Senate celebrated the occasion. At that time, they officially conferred upon Gaius Octavius the titles Savior and God. And thus, they declare him Caesar Augustus, the ultimate ruler in the world. In fact, the Senate ordered the building of an altar inscribed with this bold statement, Pax Romana, Pax Augusta. The peace of Rome, the peace of Caesar Augustus is declared. So his birthday became a world holiday. Every city built a shrine in his honor. He lifted up a banner to his name, calling Augustus the Savior of the whole world. We know history, and history tells us that this so-called peace came at a horrible cost. Nation after nation were overrun. Countless millions of the so-called barbarians were mercilessly enslaved and killed. And the peace of Augustus towered over the corpses of the masses. Obviously, finally there was a forced peace, but nowhere was there any justice to be seen. It's now 20 centuries later. Very little has changed since then. Since the beginning of human history, there was concern for looming disaster in our world and all who dwell in it. More often, disaster does not happen through nature, but is caused by the human race, hurting and destroying itself when erupting in war and violence, causing panic, fear, destruction, and leaving famine and desperation in its wake. Well, that was the time of Augustus. And now, Luke says, during that very same period, Jesus was born. Now, you know, one could argue that this was maybe the worst possible time for the birth of Jesus. Coming to think of it, the opposite is really true. It was the fullness of time, and in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. I was amazed during the past few weeks to read for the first time about a Greek Stoic philosopher by the name of Epictetus. He lived during that period, and he taught his students. Epictetus said, and this is what his students learned, while the emperor may enforce peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which humanity yearns more than even for his outward peace. A true writing out of the same time. And Edward Gibbon begins his great 7-volume work on the decline and the fall of the Roman Empire precisely at this very same point. You see, in the days of Caesar Augustus, it was Pax Romana and Pax Augusta that ruled the nations. Oh yes, it ruled them with force, but it could never, never conquer the human heart. So therefore, we believe that the first Christian Christmas, the birth of the one whom we hail as the Prince of Peace, coincided with the days of Caesar Augustus. And it was also offering peace. Peace, but totally a different kind of peace. It was a peace built on the firm foundation of a loving God, as foretold by the prophet Isaiah so long ago. Listen to the peace of Isaiah. He says, "He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Our own nation had to learn this lesson the hard way. In the Civil War, our nation turned on itself. The Civil War, the deadliest in American history, caused 620,000 soldier deaths and an undetermined number of civilian casualties. And it also ended slavery in the United States. Nevertheless, it still took many, many years before peace built upon justice broke through in our own nation. In April of 1961, Martin Luther King Jr. was sitting in a jail cell in Birmingham, Alabama. The authorities had arrested King for leading a demonstration. While he was in jail, and the letter still exists, 20 Christian leaders in Birmingham, all of them pastors and teachers and doctors, wrote him a letter, and it was delivered to him in jail. And in their letter, they declared that he was wrong. They told him, in the name of Christ, to cease his demonstrations and to allow peace to return to their polite but sadly uneven world. And Martin Luther King thought long and hard about that letter, according to his own witness later on. Because here were all these Christian colleagues of him begging him in the name of Christ to change his ways. In short, to shut up. To give up his cause. So his response also came in a letter, which has become a classic in the Christian world. In the letter since then known as the letter from a Birmingham jail, King said, "You want me to be quiet and in that way to bring you peace?" However, in the Bible, peace is not the absence of warfare. Peace is instead the presence of justice. Peace is the presence of justice. And that is exactly the difference between the Pax Augusta and the peace of Christ. The peace of Caesar Augustus forced the nations to lay down their weapons, brutally forced them. On the other hand, the peace of Christ enables God's people to lift the hearts and the lives of the lost and the last and the least and the lowest to a place in society that they could not otherwise conquer for themselves. Peace? Peace is not merely the absence of warfare. After all, any dictator can do that. And many of them did since the time of Jesus. True peace is the presence of justice. True peace is born when someone cares enough to make things right for all those folks who otherwise suffer injustice and persecution. True peace is born where we get a chance to look into our own hearts with the big question, I need to be sure that the peace that rules in my heart is not the Pax Augustus, but the Pax Christi. The peace of Christ. Because once, when you've surrendered your life and your will to Jesus Christ, something happens. It happens from the inside out. And it is then the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ, takes over your life and mine. And when we grow into a new reality, peace with justice. As Christians, we look both backward and forward. We look back to Christ's coming into the world, but we also look forward to that final victory of light over darkness, love over hatred, peace over war, when Christ shall reign over all. They are part of the same package. If you truly believe the message of Christmas, if you truly believe that God has intervened in human history to reveal to us God's will and ways and God's plan for all creation, then you absolutely also believe that the world as we know it is not God's last word. God is still speaking. History has direction and purpose. Christians believe in and strive for a kingdom that will be alive and well and shall one day extend its sovereignty over everything that lives and moves and has its being. It is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and God's righteousness and all these other things will be given to you as well." The anticipation of that kingdom gives us hope in the midst of even our deepest despair. If I did not believe that with my life, I would not stand here today. I believe that the same light that has penetrated the darkness will one day expel the darkness. I believe that many churches of Jesus Christ who still have to learn the meaning or misunderstand the message of following Christ, I believe that they will also one day stop playing the game of religion and abandon the ways of darkness. Oh, I believe that one day God's children will hurt each other no more. I believe that the light of Jesus, of the Jesus star child, born in the time of the Pax Augusta, will shine into every remaining speck of darkness in our midst. I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh God, let these things be. Let the prophecy become true. And let your people across the world have a change of heart. And that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.